The Afternoon Farm News is being sponsored by Metal Services of Blooming Prairie. They provide metal solutions. Commodity broker Cordy Kulowitz with Chido Commodities joins us for the weekly ag market recap. And Cordy, it turned out to be a pretty good week. It seemed like the bears kept trying to push corn and beans down, and we just kept coming back. What a change from a few months ago.
Yeah, I mean, it really was a pretty good rebound. They tried several times with some rounds of selling, and in almost every case, it was met almost instantly with another round of buying. And market behaved pretty solidly. And again, it was across the board in the grains. They had a couple times where they sold just about everything, and just about everything managed to find a way to firm right back up again. So despite the fact that we had some, some rounds of selling, it didn't really have much of an impact. And we closed pretty solidly across the board. And in fact, today, I said, profit taking a Friday is not that weird, and option expiration and all that kind of good stuff. And, at 11:15, I was saying, it's interesting that the funds and the option guys haven't pushed this thing to the downside. Shortly before the close, it was even more surprising. They stepped up to the plate and bought the living daylights out of the grains, especially the bean complex. So corn had been sitting kind of like up 1, 1.5. The beans actually got down minus early. And, they've been trading minus all day. And they got back to about minus, a half, three quarters. And we're just kind of sitting there idling.
And it felt like a pretty good day for harvest and a correction day. And we're kind of hanging in there about unchanged. We thought we were doing pretty well.
Yeah. And then what's interesting is, all of a sudden, just zip, zip, zip. I glanced away, look at the screen, all of a sudden beans were up 6. And they ended up over 13 at one point. They settled them up 10 at 10.83 and 3 quarters. 88.5 was the high. Same with the corn, popped up, got up to 420, new high for the move, closed them at 19.25, up 3. And the wheat, which started off the day kind of wimpy, closed up 8.5, 9 in KC and 8.5, 10 in Chicago. So grains came back pretty solidly across the board. And again, it's an option expiration day, and I don't know how many times over the years we've had option expiration days where they kind of step up, in some cases pound on the grains, and not even close. And it looked like the opposite side, where maybe some of these option guys, are on the other side of history, and they're not happy being on the other side. And they certainly, behaved like they wanted to get out from underneath that kind of a trade.
Then when you look at the charts, technically from the week and the close, they actually look pretty good?
Yeah. Oh, real good. These are breakouts in just about everything except for the bean oil. That one's still lagging along below its lows. But by and large, we're doing pretty well across the board. The markets just keep finding a way to make new highs, and it's kind of the definition of what you want to see here in a market. It just, bad news doesn't take it lower, and again, there's a whole lot more good news than bad news right now too, which really does help a lot. But the marketplace just keeps finding a way to work higher, and I just don't see a whole lot of negativity here. The marketplace looks pretty good across the board right now.
The other major event that sticks out in my mind again is China buying beans, buying a lot of pork, and even bought a fair amount of corn this week, and that sure had to help.
Yeah, it did. China's been a big buyer, but it hasn't just been China, which is one of the things I guess I do like about this whole thing, is that, in the real world, we're seeing China stepping up to the plate and getting things done, but we're also seeing a whole bunch of other people stepping up to the plate and getting things done. And, it's nice to have a big customer, but it's nice to have a lot of customers. Your big customer gets hit by a bus, you're still in business. And, like this morning, we got a report out of Mato Grosso do Sul by their ag department up there. And they're calling for basically, bigger crop like everyone else. But they're saying at the end of it, we end up with just as tight a carrot as they have this year. And keep in mind, they're out of grain right now. They also say they're not going to have exportable corn probably till mid-April. So, again, that opens up our window for even more exports here. All of those things take our carryout lower. And, again, that's also all those assumptions are predicated on getting that big crop. And right now it's still warmer and drier than normal. And this week they were talking about wildfires in Argentina, burning up the grasslands down there, and some of their best bean territory is that dry. Some of the rivers are so low it's getting hard to transport barges and things. So, South America has some issues. And the marketplace, I don't think it's even begun factoring those issues in yet. And then, of course, our drought continues here, with the exception of parts of Minnesota finally getting some moisture. But, we've been getting moisture all year. The dryers basically are continuing to stay dry, and that should certainly at least have an impact on the winter wheat here. And plus it's getting guys nervous for spring that, we're going to need moisture come springtime to get these things going. So worldwide, we still have some real big issues.
Larry Olson mentioned something in the Midday Market Report today that he'd read that really got my attention. Remember all this hype about the phase one trade deal with China? They weren't going to come anywhere close to buying all the beans they committed. Well, they've purchased 31 million metric ton of their commitment to their promise to purchase 35 million metric ton. They're getting pretty close.
They're getting pretty close. And again, it may be a situation where, you know, if I'm right about yields, that they're overstated, we probably can't afford to sell them, you know, everything we'd like to sell them. And, you know, that's what makes it sort of interesting this year is I think they're still overstating yields. They're still overstating acreage and, you know, understating demand. And if South America, of course, doesn't produce, that probably drives even more demand to us. And, you know, everywhere you look, it just seems like it. If you're a bear, the only thing you have to go on is the official USDA numbers. And I think more and more entities, you know, individuals, you know, analysts, you know, whatever, are becoming to the conclusion that those numbers aren't really very accurate. Pick your poison as to whether they're doing it on purpose or, you know, just through sheer lack of, you know, effort or, you know, ability or whatever. They're not very accurate anymore. And so, you know, that leaves you with, we better start scrambling to lock some of this stuff up. I mean, if you look what happened with the wheat market when it went to the 20, that scramble was a lot of end users who just can't afford not to be in the market. And, you know, they had to pay anything to get their wheat. And it turns into a mad scramble for that last bit of cash. And you got Chinese and Indians who have, you know, a couple billion people they need to feed. And, you know, and the willingness to spend money to do it, basically, too. It means basically that price rationing is almost meaningless. So that's why the potential is certainly there for some excitement. And to get those kind of crazy things, we need to have the weather in South America stay less than ideal so that crop gets smaller. But, you know, even if the crop pans out as they say it is, we're still due for higher prices here, it looks like.
The livestock this last week.
Well, they've been kind of odd lately, and this week was another odd week. You look at the Deese cattle. They start off the week under pressure, and they were under pressure all week. Coming in Monday morning, calls were steady, you know, nothing real exciting. The only thing I can think of is that the funds just decided to get out from underneath. I had a bunch of my cattle guys asking me all week, what's going on? And they didn't have any real news either. So, you know, I mentioned last week we closed under a key moving average for the week. And I just think the funds, they're not overly long or anything, but they were net long. And it just looks like they decided to get out from underneath. And I don't know if it's because there's more and more talk of COVID. And, you know, the meat market was one of those that really did get savaged by the COVID. And there was a real world impact. You know, they actually shut a bunch of these guys down. And, you know, the meat market became a mess last spring. So I don't know if that maybe was one of the motivating factors. But the bottom line is cattle close kind of wimpy. And today was sort of an inside day. It feels like maybe we've kind of gone as far as we need to go for a little bit. But right now, we end the week with the charts looking a little bit negative. And I think a lot of the commercials and a lot of the end users are a little bit unsure where we go next. So I think next week, the early momentum could kind of tell the tale if they start buying them back. You know, we could see this thing stabilizing at higher. And if we see some more guys liquidate, we could see this thing work lower. And it feels like the funds are kind of the driving force. Hogs, on the other hand, I think benefited from a little bit of the spreading. As the cattle went on early in the week, the hogs kind of held in there pretty solidly. And then yesterday, they just let loose too. And hogs are going home looking a lot better on the charts. You know, they've been stronger lately. So this pullback still leaves them above some key moving averages and above a bunch of other things that, you know, trend lines and whatnot. So the charts look better on the hogs. And we actually had a little bit of a rebound today. We made a new low and closed higher. So the hogs feel a little better. And, you know, again, the Deese hogs ended up well below the Octobers when the Octobers went off the board, you know, $10 below the cash. So I think there's a little bit of wind behind the hogs. At least they feel a little better. And one of the things that might help the cattle going into Monday is big chunks of the, you know, western half of the U.S. are going to be really, really cold, unfortunately, where we also live. And, you know, a lot of times the cattle market gets a little bit of boost in those cold temps. The attitude is, well, they're not going to gain weight as well, puts them under stress. And so that might give them a little bit of boost because, you know, all those guys in the east, they're not paying attention to what's happening weather-wise here. But once it makes the national news, they'll be watching that. And so it might give some of those hedge fund guys a little bit more incentive to at least be a little bit more aggressive.
Commodity broker Gertie Kalova. To market update was sponsored by Metal Services of Blooming Prairie. They provide metal solutions.